Oh, this is just a plop and drop. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Tuesday morning. Tuesday, October 14th, 8:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here I am. I'm your host for the most. By the way, you can call the show 812-379-8778. And give me your opinion. It's a hotline. You can just leave a voicemail or a text message. You can dial in google.com/voice and use that same number, 812-379-8778, and just to put your message there if you'd like to, whatever you'd like to do, whatever you want to do. Just let me know what you think about what I think. I'm here to tell you that I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I am not a geopolitical expert, and I'm certainly no, Let's just say the list of things I'm not is a little longer than the list of things I am. So the, but I am good at what's in my cup here. I just realized yesterday, I don't think I talked about what was in my backup cup. And I'm sure all of you are probably hanging on the edge of your seat for the whole hour of the show that you just didn't know what was it. We just kept expecting it to drop and it never did. By the way, this whole plop and drop reference, I just literally sat down in my seat and within 10 seconds I was hitting the record button. Which gives you some idea of, normally I have a couple of topics on Tuesdays because it's Topical Tuesday. I usually have a couple topics I like to cover. And what you're getting today is the fresh, raw brain thoughts. I actually was able to sleep in this morning a little bit. I mean, I had to get up a little bit for a couple of times, but it was, for the most part, I actually slept in. My wife didn't have to leave quite as early. She had time to feed the puppies, and then she also she locked them up when she did the, the big puppy has a crate. He loves his crate. He goes in there all the time on his own, and he's crate trained. It's kind of his little den. He likes to go in there. And a lot of times in the morning, he's very rambunctious. When the sun starts coming up, he starts getting and he's been getting the zoomies at night. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Last night he was pretty docile all day long. We did a lot of exercise, got a lot of stuff done. Not quite as much exercise as I would have wanted to give him, but we went for the long walk. Went for a little run, all the stuff we do. We didn't play in the yard, and we didn't hang out outside very much, which sometimes that helps keep him awake longer, and he sleeps better at night. However, after supper, after had his little supper time, he has breakfast and he has supper. In his supper time, he pretty much settled down pretty well after that. I mean, he usually gets the zoomies a little bit after supper, but he's a little bit active at that point. He's kind of. And we can't really tear around because, larger dogs, by the way, it's not good for them to be, once they eat, it's not good for them to have excessive romper room activity right afterwards because their stomachs don't handle it well. They can actually twist their stomach, and it's a very serious, sometimes deadly thing that happens to them. And he must know I'm talking about him because he's coming up here, put himself right beside me. So you can't. You have to really, really careful with that. With larger dogs, younger ones not so much. But the older they get, the more important it is. And he would love to run around, romp around, and do crazy things. But just gotta be careful with them. They can walk leisurely. In fact, there are a couple of vets I've listened to have said that they recommend after, especially after eating a heavy meal, if they eat a lot. Which he does when he eats a lot. He has dry food out all the time, but his big meal is a big chunky meal. It's good for their blood sugar level. In fact, this is good for humans too. After you eat, especially a heavy meal, especially a high carb meal, if you can get out and do a little walk, a continuous walk for up to 15 minutes. It's really good for your to maintain your blood sugar level and to fight off is it called insulin resistance or whatever it is. It's especially important in dogs because they have a tendency to overstress. It's really good for their gut. It's good for all kinds of things. It's just on a dog. It just after they eat, just to do at least a stroll to stay up and stay active and not just lay around. But not to be rigorous activity. Rigorous activity is not good for them. So it just anyway, that's what I've heard, and I'm no dog expert. I've had a lot of dogs, but. So I have chai with creamer, my Almond Joy creamer in it. The backup cup, just like it was yesterday. However, I don't have any ice in this one. Is apple cider. My brother makes apple cider from all of his apples that he has. It's very good stuff. It's a little strong, but it's very very thick apple cider. It's not like the apple cider you get at the store where they water it down. This is the real stuff. It's very good. It's very fresh. And it's, but now, having said that, I am getting this serious craving, however, for sweet peach tea. I'm going to have to do something about that. So today I'm going to probably be making some tea. That'll be my big chore for the day. I also have a lot of outside work to do. Let's try to sell the old motorhome. I'm not sure how that's going to. Apparently, the newer motorhome. This is a weird deal. I'm going to sidetrack for just a second here. So I think I told a story about how I ended up buying this newer motorhome and why. And I'm glad I made the purchase. But it was one of those things where I was kind of a little bit trepidatious about it. It was first of all, the old motorhome. We got this local mechanic. I'm going to say his name. He doesn't sponsor the show. I don't have any sponsors. That's one of the things. This is what you have to put up with is this kind of drivel, because I have no sponsors, so you have to put up with my stories. There's a place, I don't know if I should mention the name of this company I sent stuff to. They're supposedly experts, and they're out here on the main highway, main bypass. They always have a lot of trucks there, a lot of fancy vehicles, they fix motorhomes, mostly Freightliner chassis motorhomes, but I had a Spartan chassis on the old Fleetwood. But it was a Cummins diesel. It was a Allison transmission and the whole thing. It had, if you're Cummins and Allison certified, who cares whether it's a Freightliner chassis or not? But their big deal was, well, it's not a Freightliner. We're Freightliner chassis sort of, we don't work on Spartan chassis and we can't diagnose anything. Basically, they can't plug it in and the thing just tell them what to do. Most technicians nowadays, unfortunately, that's all they know. They plug it into the machine, which I have already. I can walk into a mechanic and say, this is what the code is. This is what it's telling me it needs to do. I don't have time to do it. Can you get this done? And that's just usually what I do. Many times, they will find something else that's going on that's causing the code or that's causing the other thing to fail. And that's where my buddy down here at this shop called Laverne's. Now, Laverne is the old, I'll say he's old. He's a little older than me, not much. He's kind of semi-retiring now. He lives down the road a little ways from where the shop is. And his son, James, now is taking over the business for the most part. And they knock it out of the park. They just do an awesome job. There have been a couple of times where they've done some things that have kind of frustrated me. But it's been very rare. The heavier stuff that I don't want to do, total engine swap or whatever. They think they did a transmission swap in one of our cars. And just the prices are reasonable, and they just always do a good job. Pulling out the door. It's just there's one time that they didn't get things done in time, and I was a little frustrated with them. But they have more than made up for that over the years. Or I should say since then. Laverne, the fellow who started the business, he always treated me really well. He was always very good pricing wise and everything. But his son was a little bit, I think he got off onto a little bit of a a rough start. He's really dialed in now. He's doing a good job. Of course, they have so much work to do. You can't schedule anything for, you know, they're a month out when you want to get something done, which is why I went to this other place, because they were able to get it in fairly quick, within less than a week. But then it turned into a month. It was one of those deals where, yeah, we can get you in the door, but then they say, well, it's first come, first serve. And I said, well, I set up an appointment. I thought I was first serve here. I thought I came here. So what's the deal? I'm not sure what's happening with my, oh, there we go. My puppy's kind of stuck here. So we ended up coming over to this truck center place. And, sorry there, puppy. There we go. Now you can lay back down on his little bed. We have, so I took it over there, and they went, first, the old motorhome. Now, I knew that there was a problem with it initially. There was a problem with power band on the thing. It wasn't doing things right. It also wasn't shifting right, but there was two different issues there. One is the turbocharger. It had a crack in it. It was doing something weird. It wasn't providing the power it was supposed to. It had some issues and couldn't figure out why it was speeding up, slowing down, doing all kinds of weird stuff. So in the process, took it over there, had a new turbocharger put on it, which was very expensive. Took it out, drove it, and they couldn't figure out what the shifting issues were. They said they couldn't find any shifting issues. It was shifting fine, is what they said. They drove it around the parking lot, it was shifting fine. Very frustrated with that. So I took it back in about a month later, had an appointment set up for them to actually have a technician ride along with me in that coach. Got over there, came in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with time for the technician to come with me. So, okay, well, he'll get to it in a couple hours. So I was like, no, I'm going to be driving it. I want to drive it. I want to show him what it's doing, because I want to make sure they don't just, last time I brought it in, you just drove it around the parking lot and they couldn't find the shifting issues. He said, oh, well, it's first come, first serve. And I said, that's why I set up an appointment. I mean, apparently you don't understand the reason for the appointment. And I rushed around to get to this thing and make the appointment. And now you're telling me I have to sit here for 3 or 4 hours. So they finally got somebody out there. They said, well, he'll be out in 20 minutes. So we went for a drive. And of course, right off the bat, he said, oh, this thing's not shifting right. And then I drove it for a little while and it slowed down. I had my foot to the floor and it was going 45 miles an hour. And it was, you know, straight and level. Got back around, turned back around, went down the highway again. Of course, it was shifting really, really weird. Did some hard shift stuff. Just doing some interesting, weird stuff. And I told him, I said, my understanding is, my suspicion is that there is a sensor, there's a speed or position sensor that, or both, that are causing problems. And I've heard that there's either wiring issues, some of these have some wiring issues, or some sensor, the sensor plug itself is bad. So I've heard that's what typically happens. I said, it's kind of intermittent. It'll happen, then it'll go away for, you know, 300 or 400 miles, and then it does it again, and it comes back. Sometimes it's worse than others, and it's just kind of an intermittent thing. And he said, well, you know, he had all these things that he thought it could possibly be. Now, of course, one of the things that I should have given me a clue is when I told him, I said, there's a cable that runs from it's a 1996 model. Okay, it's older. There's a cable that runs from the throttle control, from the accelerator control, all the way back to the engine. I said, I think there might be a position indication system back there that's a sensor that's not syncing with the transmission or something. Like, it's not, like when I request it, it does something. It's almost like as if somebody took their foot off the accelerator. So it's just something weird going on there. He said, no, there's a cable there that sends a signal back through a wire. I said, no, it's a cable. It goes all the way back there. And he disagreed with me. I said, well, I know that there's a cable because I had it replaced at one point. I had to run a new cable all the way back there. And it's like a 27-foot long cable. And I know that it's there. It's actually it's 30 foot long. So anyway, he disagreed with me. So I was like, well, okay, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about. I know the newer ones are kind of a fly-by-wire system, so that they actually go back there. They actually have like a signal that it sends to the back, and it doesn't through a wire. It's like a almost like a Cat 5 cable or Cat 6 cable. Anyway, so the that's not what this has. So the we got back to the back, and the coach, after we pulled in, he took a look at the where the I opened up a bin back in the back and shit, said, this is where the throttle cable comes back in. So I think there's, you know, is there a sensor back here or something? He looks at the thing and he goes, oh, this is an old sensor. Blah, blah, blah. That is an actual cable. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you, buddy. Should have given me a clue right then. He seemed to talk about things, and we seemed to have, you know, he's about my age, and I thought maybe he was relatively, he seemed like he was relatively well-informed about the rest, you know, the rest of the system. We get the system back. They had done some analysis. It was not cheap to have just to have the analysis done. It cost three times as much to actually to get the analysis done from them as it did for Laverne to fix it. And they looked it over, and basically they had it for almost a week and a half or two, almost 2 weeks, I think. Finally got the thing back. And, well, what ended up happening in the meantime, and I'll tell you this little story. I get the email, and it says, okay, we've made our analysis. This is the whole thing, and this is the total price is going to be $21,000. Need a new transmission. I say, oh, great. There's no way I can sell the coach for that kind of money. So it's either make the, you know, you have to kind of weigh yourself out with that kind of thing, that kind of investment, because it's, do I put that kind of money into it and keep the thing for the next, you know, 10 years to get my money out of it, to kind of get some value out of it? And what's, you know, what else is going to go wrong in the next 10 years? Or do I cut my losses and sell it for, you know, for scrap or what, for whatever, for $4,000 or $5,000, and then just get out of it? Well, I thought, well, I better get a second opinion on this thing. You know, so I made an appointment with Laverne to get, of course, it was a month out. In the meantime, we had a camping trip to go on, and we had some other things we wanted to do, and I was on vacation. I wasn't going to, so here I am right before vacation, and all this is going on. It's like, I'm going to go buy another unit, buy another coach somewhere. I'm figuring we're going to have to get rid of the old one. So a little newer one, and I got a Freightliner chassis this time on the newer one. But when I called them back, I was actually driving. I think I was coming back from someplace in Michigan, Sturgis or someplace, driving down the highway, and I was actually coming back from getting our other car repaired. We had a car in Ohio repaired. That's what it was. I was driving that car back, and so I drove. I was driving that back and ended up, I think, was that what it is? I don't know, maybe it wasn't that. It wasn't that. I was coming back from somewhere else. Got this email, I was checking it out, and so I called them, and I was on the phone with them, and I said, yeah, what's happening? I said, that's kind of ridiculous. They did some other things that I didn't ask them to do in the process, and I called them. I initially asked him about doing them. I said, just let me know what you think about, you know, checking out the air conditioner, doing some other things. And in the process, they had called me back a day later and said something about the air conditioning system. I said, you know what, just don't even do that. Let's just not even do the analysis on that. Don't even worry about that part of it. They went ahead and did it, and they ended up charging me like $500 for that part of it. And I was like, I did not authorize that. I told you over the phone I didn't want to have that part done. I never even really authorized it to begin with. It was kind of a question of, do you want to work on this? Please call me back and let me know what you think about having that done. They went ahead and did it anyway. So it was one of those, just maybe miscommunication on their part, whatever, but it was still, I didn't request that. It wasn't on the paperwork. So somebody put it on later. So anyway, they ended up knocking the price down some. They did come down the price a little bit on my invoice. But in the meantime, I was like, I'm not paying $21,000. So I said, no, I'm not gonna have not gonna not having the work. They thought I was gonna keep the thing there and have the work done. I was like, no, I'm gonna pay the bill and we're done. I'm gonna drive it away. So I did. I drove it away, and of course, it ran actually better after I drove away. Apparently, them down there messing with the wiring apparently made something better. So I got home and. A little later on, took it over to Laverne's. In the meantime, we took our other one out and drove around. And there were some issues with that one, and I knew there were. I got a good price on it. They actually came down on the price because I found some things. And So I knew there were some things that I was going to have to get done eventually. You know, just the coolant in the engine was bad. So I knew that was going to need a flush. I thought I might do that, and I got to looking at it, and I was like, you know what, I'll just have Laverne do that, put the right stuff in and have him do it right. That way they can look it over, make sure everything's good. Any subsequent ones I'll do myself, but I just want to have them check the system out. So plus they can kind of get the whole thing a good look over. Then I also, there was an issue where it just wasn't developing power properly. It just was like it wasn't getting full power going down the highway. It just seemed like it wasn't climbing hills well. And so I took it over to their sister company, the trucking place that they have a sister company here in a little closer to home. It takes about as long to get there because it's more through town, but on the north side of town here. So I went over there, and they actually at least treated me well. They were now this other company, when I was on the phone with them, driving home, looking at the invoice, I called them up and to ask them about it. And it was kind of complaining about the air conditioning system thing. They hung up the phone. Only the problem was they didn't hang up the phone. They thought they hung up the phone, and the phone was off the hook. And they proceeded to talk about me for about 5 minutes, making snide comments, laughing, doing all kinds of things. And now, keep in mind, the first day I walked in there and had my little fit about the fact that they were going to make me sit around for 2 or 3 hours before the technician could come out and drive the coach. They considered me to be a combative customer, apparently, at that point. So they probably had me down on a list somewhere. And so then they hung up the phone. I thought they hung up the phone, and they went on for about 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, he picks up the phone, hangs it up, and he didn't say anything. Just hung up the phone. Well, I kind of put that in my back pocket, and I never said anything to him about it until I talked to the guys on their sister company at the other place, and I explained to him afterwards because they had my coach. They looked it over. I said, "Just a new coach. I just want you guys to look it over, just like you would anybody. If you're going to take your family across the country, what would you look at? And what would you check out? What would you do? Go ahead and go through the thing." So I have some questions about some things, and just kind of give it a good once over. And so they did. They did all that, and it wasn't cheap either. That was almost as much as the other diagnostic was in the other one, and. They were saying, well, if there's any issues, that we don't do heavy stuff here. We do most of that over there they recommended the South Bend office. It's like, I'm never doing business with them again. When they got done, they had the coach there for a couple of days, got it back, and had some recommendations. They did a few things, fixed up a couple of things, and they did a good job. They treated me very well there. And I proceeded to tell the manager there what happened to me over at the South Bend office. He apologized. He said he kind of explained some of the situation, what was happening over there in terms of management. It's the whole thing that was going on over there. And said they've had some issues in the last couple of years. And so we had a good conversation. It was a good heart to heart kind of thing. And I walked away feeling like I got what I paid for at this one. However, the recommendations were that possibly the VGT system on the turbocharger on this one was possibly bad, and the actuator may have burned up because the VGT was froze up. His suspicion was that the VGT was frozen. It was only developing about 75% power. It wasn't developing all the power it's supposed to, and on and on and on. It was running fine. Everything else was good. All the other they had a couple of other things that they dinked around with. They were the ones that made the recommendation to change out. I already knew that the fluids need to be changed on the cooling system, coolant system stuff. And that was something I needed to get done before wintertime, of course, because I don't think I had any coolant in it. I think the coolant probably was rated about, 20 degrees, which we get well below that here. Plus, it was getting just kind of gunky and cruddy, so that just needed to be changed. Anyway, so they ended up doing all this stuff and getting it all done, and I drove away with the thing. And I think we even took it on another camping trip after that. And so I went ahead and scheduled it to go into Laverne's to get another, second opinion on that whole thing and see what he could do with the VGT and see what his opinion was. Plus, I was going to have him do the coolant thing and all. There's something else I was going to have. And a couple different things there I was going to have him do. So it was over there yesterday, and he actually went into the shop last week, but they actually worked on it yesterday. It was the scheduled date to have it worked on. He called me yesterday evening. He said, yeah, we found an exhaust leak between where the EGR thing comes out. He said there's a couple of gaskets. He says it looks like somebody's had that apart, and they put the wrong gasket in there, and it's leaking like crazy. Now, keep in mind, from the exhaust on the engine, exhaust comes off the engine. It goes through the turbocharger, the compressor part of the turbocharger. It's actually it's not the compressor. It's the other side, the hot side. And it goes through there. It has to have a lot of exhaust pressure to turn that turbine wheel so that it goes into so it goes to the cold side where the compressor is that makes it changes the intake. So you got the outflow going out, and that pressure creates the pressure from the exhaust creates it turns a wheel that turns another wheel on the intake side that helps to pressurize the air going in. So the turbocharger, when it's spinning, provides more power, basically is what it amounts to, especially at higher altitudes. And what was happening was that there was gas leaking out of that exhaust between the engine and the pump side of things. And it's never going to spin up to full speed because you got gases leaking out. It's like having say you've got an air compressor and you got a hose that's got a leak in it, and you're trying to pump up a tire, and that the air is all going out the hose. So anyway, so it was never coming up to pressure. And he said, yeah, because we'll fix that, because we'll get the gaskets coming in today, and they'll probably get them changed tomorrow. And so tomorrow should be fixed. That's probably going to fix the issue with the VGT. He didn't see any issues with the VGT itself. This other shop that was supposedly so good at everything that they do, and such, there's Freightliner certified and everything else, didn't notice that at all. Which it just blows my mind that they don't see that kind of stuff. By the way, the other issue with the older one, the $20,000 bill, Laverne worked on that and of course found a sensor plug, found a bad sensor. They ordered a new sensor and put that in. They found a place that was the sensor itself looked like it had been burned, and it looks like it wasn't connecting properly and all that whole stuff. They changed that out. I took it out and drove it around. Runs fine. Runs like it always has, like I was always supposed to. Speeds up, doesn't slow down, doesn't do anything weird, drives fine. Shifts fine, does everything the way it's supposed to. Which, unfortunately, if I'd had that fixed, I wouldn't have bought this other unit. But now I've got the other unit for sale. So now I've got to fix this, get this one ready to go, put it up for sale, and get it out the door. Kind of hate to see it go now. It is a good old coach, but the other one, the happy news is on the newer one, there's not going to be a big bill on that one either. It looks like it's going to be in good shape. So, yeah. There you go. That's the whole story there. Now, the show's over. Yep, that's it. The time's up. I want to talk about a few things. The media is tripping over themselves in a couple different places. One of them is this whole Letitia James thing. Of course, the other one is down the Hamas hostages, the Israeli agreement, the Hamas and other neighboring nations agreement. There's a lot of complexities to this whole negotiation thing. And of course, one of the names that I haven't heard mentioned during this whole process with the peace accord that they have supposedly signed on to is that Marco Rubio has been a huge part of this. However, I hadn't heard his name mentioned hardly at all. Everybody's talking, oh, Trump did this, Trump did that, Trump did that. All the credit's been given to Trump. Now, I know that Marco Rubio, as Secretary of State, has been involved up to his earlobes with this stuff. He has been a very busy guy. Now, he is enacting the policies, and I know that Trump has been directly involved in some of the negotiation, basically directing this whole thing. And it's been his philosophy. It's been his his doctrine, basically, that Marco Rubio has been enacting. I'm sure that, and I know that the two of them have had some disagreements, and they've been at each other about some things. And I know there's been a lot of other people feeding in information, you know, with the whole thing. It's been a very hard fought battle internally as well as externally to get this done. I'm sure it wasn't a smooth process. I'm sure people made some. You know, they got to know each other. It's like a family argument type thing throughout the whole thing. I'm sure. So they got it done, and they got it across the goal line. And it looks like, and everything's. I mean, they got all the hostages that were alive or have been returned. Gaza is in ruins. Many people are dead. We don't know how many of the. You know, they're supposedly the casualty level is 50-50, so that the innocent people who have died, it's about 1-to-1 with regard to actual combatants. And when you've got combatants who are hiding behind civilians, that's and you can't really tell the difference between the civilians and the combatants. It's just very difficult to tell. You know, nobody's wearing uniforms over there. So it's been a very bitter battle, and of course, it's caused all kinds of issues. I would not call it a genocide. Mark Dice this morning, I know, called it a genocide. It was a cultural destruction of they're trying to get rid of the problem. That's what they're trying to get rid of over there. They see the entire Gaza, you know, the whole thing, the West Bank, all that they see as a problem. They would like for it to go away, but of course, when they're being used as pawns to be militants, to be a problem, the people who are leading them into the problem are living in a totally different country anyway. It's a bizarre setup, bizarre situation there. And then you have of course, the activists who are just throwing fuel on the fire. It's way too much for me to even get into in this particular thing. It's context. It's just a very complicated thing, and it's much more complicated than what the polarization people behind the scenes that just want to keep, you know, the us against them mentality going on. It's much more complicated than that. So I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole here today. However, the news media is tripping over themselves trying to figure out how to give credit where credit is due without giving credit where credit is due. Now, there's they're trying to say that it wasn't Trump. There was even one pundit came out and actually said that this was Joe Biden's. No, Joe Biden actually set all this up for Trump. He made all this possible. Trump didn't do this. Where do they come up with? How do they do this stuff? How do they wrap their brains around? Do like twist things to the point where they, you know, how do you do that? They do. They're very good at it. Then you have people like, you know, the View. There's this really funny comedian. He always has these. He's very good at setting up jokes where he has this. He'll go through this whole process and what was the joke he said? I need to play a couple of these because they're actually pretty good. The one that he said this morning was, and look, it's just funny. It's just a joke. You know, of course he wasn't being serious, or was he? But it was. Let's go with. I'm gonna go see if I can find it. I just heard it a few minutes ago. I've got to find this because it's just I can't. I'm sure I can't repeat it as well as he. Where did it go? Oh, no, he wasn't back that far. What in the world? Oh, you know, I've seen some videos since then, so that's probably. Has to have been back here a little ways. Here we go. It wasn't yesterday, though. Huh. Well, that's interesting. That's not there. Well, that's, I would say that's rather bizarre. Well, it wasn't a video. It had to have been a short. Oh, you know, it was a reel. It was a Facebook reel. And I'm not going to go back to those. I don't know if you can find the history on those. The funny part of it was he said something about doctors. He goes, 30% of doctors are now females. And then I can't repeat. I'm not even going to try it because I can't do it. The other one was which I thought was pretty funny. What I was making the point with. So, you know, you take one of those shows, you know, where they take these unattractive women and they paint them up with makeup and fix their hair and do all this stuff and, clothe them up with fancy dresses. And he said, I think it's called The View. And you're expecting him to say some kind of makeover show because there was a show. What was it? Something about a makeover. There was a show that did that. And he says, and that's his specialty, man. He comes up with these things, and he has this like a one liner with just this, and he drops the punchline, and it's just bam. It comes from out of nowhere. One of the things he says, you know, there's words that white people can't say. And I said like the N word, can't say that. So there's also words that black people can't say. Things like ask. Anyway, but he has this whole thing about this, something about doctors or surgeons or something. I can't remember what it was. And I'll have to get it. I'll try to play it for you tomorrow. Tomorrow's show will theoretically be live, and I'm going to try to get, depending on what I get done today around the house here and get some things done. If I get the motorhome sold, but it'll probably be posted here soon on Facebook Marketplace, I think is what I want to do. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, tomorrow's show will be live, and then Thursday morning show, probably not going to be live on Thursday morning. It's just going to be a regular show, probably hopefully be long enough. I think I'm going to be dropping off one of my dogs at the old training facility Thursday morning, I believe. At least I'm hoping that I can do it Thursday morning. I'm not sure. I just want to be able to say goodbye to my dog Thursday morning before he takes off, but I'm not going to see him for a couple weeks. So that's the plan. And then, other than that, so that's the way the show will go. I don't know about Friday's show. Friday's going to be a fairly early morning busyness for me. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get a show in, or I'm going to be in Champaign or Illinois, I think, or someplace, possibly, or wherever I'm going to be. I don't know. All right. There you go. That's the rundown. The media is tripping over themselves in the process of trying to get around this. How do we get around giving Donald Trump credit for anything? We can't. There was one lady on The View who supposedly is a Republican. She's not. And I finally determined I have a topic on my head now. I'm gonna try to do the best I can with this topic. But in the meantime, so this lady claims to be the Republican in the room. And she claimed that she would wear a MAGA hat after Trump got elected. This was back in December of last year. She said, if he's able to get the hostages out, she will wear a MAGA hat for one day on the show. Well, she hasn't done it yet. So we'll just keep watching until she does. But these are the kind of things that they always say They never do. I'm going to leave the country if Donald Trump gets elected. And then for some reason, they stay here. Of course, the ones who do leave never really leave. They leave the country. Now, by leaving the country, I'm assuming you mean you're disowning us. You've given up on the United States. You've given up on America. You're going to some other country. Some other country that's so wonderful in utopia. And you're out of the influence of the Donald Trump fascists. The ones who tell you that you can't say things, you can't do things. Oh, wait, no, that's the other side. They're the ones who do all the cracking down on free speech. Yeah, so we have this craziness that's going on. And it's but they leave the country and they don't like Rosie O'Donnell. She leaves the country, and yet she's known for right now. All she makes the news for to doing is talking about Trump. It's the only thing. What else is she doing in her life? She's still being creative. She still have a show. Does she do anything? Does she have a podcast? She just gets interviewed about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is living rent free in her mind. I guarantee you, Donald Trump is going through day after day of his life without even thinking about Rosie O'Donnell. She probably doesn't even cross his mind most days. Whereas Rosie O'Donnell, every day she thinks about Donald Trump. I'm sure she does every day because her whole life has been uprooted by Donald Trump. And not something that Donald Trump did to her. It's the monster that she's made out in her head who this guy is. This is the psyche of, and I'm not a psychologist. But I do know that when someone, you can't, when you allow someone else and their perceived problems, if you perceive that they have an issue or that you don't like them, and you become the antithesis of everything about that. Just like when Joe Biden first initially got into office, what was the first thing that started happening? Started reversing everything that Donald Trump did. Anything he had his name on, they reversed it or shut it down. Even the good things that he did, they couldn't acknowledge that anything the guy did was good. They had to erase everything he did. And what happened? The economy went belly up. Inflation took off. We were coming out of COVID. Things were coming back, and the economy was starting to roar again. And the next thing you know, fuel prices go up. All the headway we had made with fracking and everything else that was going on, all the different the energy surplus we had in this nation was gone overnight. In less than 30 days, we were importing fuel again. What just happened there? All because, well, that was Donald Trump. And we have to erase that because he's a fascist. He's a Nazi. He's an evil man. And half the country voted for him. Now, I want to talk about what fascists really are. And let's talk about this whole thing about what conservatives are. We keep hearing this, that the far right is the white supremacist organization. The far right. Well, I got news for you. The KKK, the head of the KKK, is not a Trump supporter. They're kind of trying to be a little bit incognito right now. When point blank asked this guy, he was in an interview a while back, and it's been a little over probably 8 months ago. I heard this interview with this guy, the guy that is supposedly the head of the KKK. He would not admit, all he basically said was that they're not, he's not a Trump supporter. Kind of denounced Trump. The truth is, most of the KKK, originally all the KKK was from the South. It sprung up after the Civil War. Now, when you call someone a racist, That is the image that is conjured up, is the KKK image. There are people who are racialists. Of course, the whole implication there is you can't be a racist because that's the definition of a racist. So you can't be a racist if you're black because there was no black KKK members. When you call someone a racist, it implies white supremacy. It implies or racial supremacy. Actually, it implies white supremacy, the KKK thing. Their racial supremacy is either whatever color your skin is or whatever your background is or your ethnic cultural background is. If you consider yourself to be superior, then you are a supremacist, whether it's white or black or whatever you are. And that falls on both sides of the line. There are people who think that they are supreme, even regardless over other, there are white people who think they're supreme over other white people, and the same with black people. There are some people who just think that they're supreme over others, period. It's a psychological disease. So this whole idea that the far right, the alt-right, whatever you want to call it, is the white supremacist far right. Because the further right you go, the more, it implies this idea that there is racism among the conservative, Republican conservative, whatever you want to call it. And then the further right you go, the more racist you become. So you get to the extreme radical right. They're the racists. They're the Nazis. Well, where's that line at? Because the more conservative you are, the more they don't even understand what the word conservative means. They think that conservative means we want to conserve things. We want to conserve. No, that's not what it is at all. Conservative means that limited government. It's you're conservative. You're you don't necessarily want to conserve the old ways of doing things. And that's what they actually believe. They think it's going back to the old ways of doing things. Of course, now the other day, Joy Reid kind of messed that one up. Might even be able to find this. Joy Reid. Old days. Let's see if I can find this. This is Indigenous People's Day. This is all MSNBC stuff. I can't remember. It was just the other day. I just heard it the other day. But she makes this comment about how they want us to go back to a day when people could when there wasn't any tax back in the 1900s when there wasn't any taxes. And you could pass down to your family all your money you made without paying any taxes, and you could do this and do that and all this other stuff. That's what they want us to go back to. And it was kind of like, oh, well, that actually all sounds pretty good to me. I guess you found us out. It might have been Nick Freitas that actually came up with that. I don't know Nick Freitas. Let's see if I got it here somewhere. It's really funny what she says. She actually makes the point that that's what we want. It is what we want. There it is, Nick Freitas. Let's check this out. I'm pretty sure he had a clip of this. Seven days ago? No, it wasn't that long ago. It was a short, I'm sure of that. But yeah, I don't. I don't see it. I'm sorry, I was looking for this, and I just don't see it. It's just not here. Anyway, Nick Freitas and this other guy from Warrior Poet Society they were supposed to have a pillow fight or something. I don't know what they were going to do. Anyway, they're screwing around. The Now, the point is that they think that we just want to return back to the old days when everything was the way it was, when women, you know, were in the kitchen, barefoot, pregnant in the kitchen, and just that's not what we want. We want to conserve. The conservatives are smaller government, limited government. And yeah, if you want to call it conservative, you know, the only thing we want to conserve are the foundation, you know, founding principles of the nation, founding principles of individualism, of individual rights. Not special rights, not group rights, not any weird stuff. Just, yeah, if you want to call it traditional stuff, yeah, okay, that's fine. Traditional values. We want to conserve those things. But conservative means it's like you want to conserve your resources kind of thing. You want to be conservative. I guess I look at it more in terms of, you know, when you look at the Mennonites, there are regular Mennonites and there are conservative Mennonites and there are very conservative Mennonites and there are, you know, Beachy Amish. There's there's different things there that you think, you know, you're not as extravagant, I guess, with government. You want government to be more limited and conservative. Our foreign policy to be non-interventionist. And I guess that's where things get mixed up with this whole thing of what is a conservative? And somehow they've labeled this whole thing of, well, if you go far enough right, then that's when you get into fascism, Nazism, and KKK. The KKK has never been considered to be part of the conservative far right group, but we've been labeled with that somehow, and I don't understand that. It's even Christians now. Anybody who believes in the Bible supposedly now, well, you believe in slavery, you believe in this, blah, 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 it's because the Bible says something about slavery. Yeah, you're first of all, you don't understand context. You don't understand. And the fact right now, if you're going to go down that road, we can talk about who owns slaves today, what slavery is today, what the modern slavery thing that's happening today, the number of slaves that are in Saudi Arabia today, that are in the world, in different countries, there are slaves. You know, slave trafficking, whether human trafficking, whatever you want to call it, still exists today. Slavery happened before the United States was here. Slavery's happened since there was the abolitionist movement. England was the first country that put it into place or started the wheels moving towards absolving slavery from their nation. Of course, we fought a civil war over it. And this whole thing about reparations, there are people whose family members fought and died to end slavery in this country, and you're expecting them to pay reparations. Now, I want to say this, so I'll say it out loud. There were very few black people, African Americans, who fought in the Civil War to free the slaves. There were some who did. There weren't very many, of course. Now, most of them. I think the world is finally starting to open up, starting to wake up. And thanks to people. What is it, Carmen? What's her name? And I think even. I'll mention her name, and I think it's, you know, Candace Owens, I think is worth, I think she has been one who I think has also made some inroads into the black culture issues. Now there's a Cameron, what is her name? Cameron, let's see if I can find it here. Is it Cameron Hayes? I don't think that doesn't sound right. I can't remember her name. It might be Cameron Hayes. Let's see if that's it. It probably isn't. No, that has nothing to do with that. It's not. There's nothing there. What's going on there? So She has a thing where she talks about black culture. Now, she's a black lady, probably in her 20s, early, maybe 30, but I think she's probably mid-20s. And she talks about the black culture and the issues with the black culture. And, of course, the Hodge twins, they talk about it all the time. They were both police officers at the same time. And they're very familiar with the whole thing. They understand the cultural issues among the African American population or the black culture population, the kind of thing. Steven Crowder recently went into a barbershop and was talking to some guys in the barbershop, of course, and he was talking about black fatigue and what's happening is with regard to people are getting tired. People, even the black community is getting tired of the rhetoric about black people and all the stuff that's, you know, it's been going on, the way that things have just been accepted because, you know, you can get away with because you're black. He really challenged them on some things, you know, in terms of statistics and all the stuff that's going on, things in terms of the murder rate. I think a white man is 12 times more likely to be murdered by a black man than the other way around. And of course, when it comes to black men being murdered by black men, then it's incredibly high as well. And he was bringing these statistics up. Of course, they had excuses for all this stuff, and they had excuses for privilege and all the different things that they had going on, you know, that they were all the different talking points that they were arguing about. And of course, Crowder had the statistics in his head, and he was literally just rapid fire kind of going right into it with all the stats and what, you know, the differences and the things that were wrong about what people in general in society believe, because we've been inundated over and over and over. If all you listen to is MSNBC and CNN, you are being just charged. Your brain is just being washed over it continuously. And the same thing can happen if you listen to Fox News too much. Now, you have to find some people. That's one thing I like about Devore Darkins. He's not a high energy guy, but he always brings. He said this is what he uses Ground News, which is a very good aggregate. He'll bring up, he'll say, this is what the liberal media is saying, and this is what the conservative media is saying. And they'll say, well, they're not even talking about it over there, and this is what's actually going on. And he'll look at the actual news articles, actually look at the police reports, and kind of compare that to how the news is reporting it, how they're framing it, which I find fascinating. It's really good to have that kind of perspective. I think it's balanced. I think it's a very... No, it's not just fair and balanced. It is literally looking at it from every perspective you can. And, you know, conclusively, 70 to 80% of the time, the liberal media is absolutely spinning a narrative. It's just very obvious that they are, by the way they'll say it or the way they'll not say it. And it becomes very obvious that they're being motivated by an agenda. Well, my chai is getting cold, and usually that means that, yep, it's been about an hour. The show's been about an hour. It's about as long as it can be. I don't want to just topically hit a few things on this racialism stuff and hit a bunch of hot buttons and make people upset. But I think it stirs up the conversation. So tomorrow I'll be live, I think, around 9 o'clock. That's the hope. Probably, hopefully, from my office. I don't know if it's going to be a video/audio live show or just be an audio live. Chances are it's just going to be audio live. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull it together enough to get the video with it from the International Worldwide Headquarters studio. So we'll see how that all works out. In the meantime, folks, I want to thank you for listening. Again, call the show and text the show at 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about what I think, and we'll go from there. Again, tomorrow, live show Thursday, probably a recorded show, not as long. Some topics tomorrow. Here's what you do. Send me a message, text message, or a phone call, voicemail message, Let me know what you think I should talk about on the live show tomorrow. I have to do this today because I have to be able to prepare for it for tomorrow. But give me an idea what you think I should talk about. And maybe I will, maybe I won't, because some of you have some crazy ideas. So we'll just, I may or may not. Let's just put it that way. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening. Take care. I will see you tomorrow. See ya.